So here we are on the 48th day of Sfiras Hakma, and we're going to do today Daf Yud Ches. We've started the second parak, and which ostensibly is about Eishes Elkei Shloimei Ve'Olamo, at least the way it begins for a while. But what's interesting is that, of course, Eishes Elkei Shloimei Ve'Olamo immediately raises the question of Zika. That's the one. Because the matter of what the relationship is of the woman that was once the wife of his older brother and is currently in a status in which she's awaiting Yibam, how does that status affect a brother who's now born into the world, clearly revolves around whether we view her connection to the second brother as subsuming the first marriage, and if there exists a state of semi-marriage between that woman and the second brother because of the fact that she's a medicine. That intermediary state between the death of the actual marriage to the first brother and the either Yibum or Chalitza to the second brother has vast implications for how far we will extend the din of Eishes Elkei Shloimei Ve'Olamo. Therefore, the main topic, as it turns out, is really not Eishes Elkei Shloimei Ve'Olamo, but rather the question of the state of Zika. We started yesterday looking into that question of Zika, and we raised a couple of issues. We've mentioned that we started with Ravuna Amarav, and Ravuna Amarav raised a new case of Zika. The classic case of the machlokus of whether there's Zika, not the Rebbeinu Maseira, is a case where there were a total of three brothers. One of the brothers died, and now the two brothers, there's a state of Zika, but the state of Zika between two brothers is obviously different than a state of Zika with one brother, because with one brother we could say, well, the Torah said this brother's supposed to essentially go through Yibum. There's two brothers, we can't particularly say that this brother is supposed to go through Yibum.
That these states could last a long time.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
we think it seems like it should be done the next day, but the fact is that, practically speaking, these things can go on for years sometimes, for, I don't know, years.
We'll see that that's actually nogea very much on halacha. The fact that it could go on for years raises the specter of the death of one of the other brothers in the interim. Normally, we don't worry in the short term. We don't worry about the death of one of the brothers. But since the state could go on for a long, actually, Tosis points this out later today, as we'll see. It's Nogea Lahaloha. But in any event, so the case that we had over there is where one, this is the classic case, one of the brothers had married the sister, but had only given Kiddushin, the sister of the woman who now is falling to him for Yibum from his other brother. And we tell him, now look, you can't marry her, at least according to one brother, you can't marry her because right now you're Zakuka to the other one. Wait until your brother does either Chalitza or Yibum, removing the state of Zika, which will then free you up to marry this woman. That's if you hold Yesh Zika. And that's where we have basically the machlokus in the case of two sisters, two brothers. Now, the other case that was raised yesterday, where Ravuna Amarav said, in a general sense, that there's only one brother, and that woman who falls to him now, Beyibam, the question is, what is his state? If she dies, what is his state in terms of marrying her and her mother afterwards? Was Zika a situation which made her his wife to some extent? Or was it just a meaningless thing? So there we said that Shomer Yavam Shemesim Mutar Be'ima, and we said he couldn't just say Ein Zika. He couldn't just say Allah is Ein Zika, because if he would have just said that, I would have thought Ein Zika would spread out over two. He wants to tell me even a case of Ein Zika where it's not spread out over two, where it's directly to this one. Could he not say Ein Zika Afilu? Let him maybe say it in the other way. Ein Zika Afilu Bechad. That was I'm going over this because we're basically in the middle of the sugya, and we have to take a look at the other approach. So if you would have said Ein Zika Afilu Bechad, I might have thought that would be true. Ein Zika, even if she was alive, that he would be able to marry the mother, right? Or the Ein Zika. Kamash v'lon, that death makes the relationship after she dies a zika that was only sufficient to, as long as he's about to marry her, he can't marry her mother-in-law, but if she dies, he's not considered to be married to her. And therefore, he needed to clarify those two issues, that we won't say afilu b'chad, but afilu michayim, but that's for another reason. We introduced a whole new idea. That had he gone ahead now and married the mother-in-law, he would never have been able to be miyaver. So that as far as the zika is concerned, she's never considered to be married to him at all. Whether she's alive, whether she's not alive, that's not the issue. And zika, even though there's only one brother, she's right here in front of him, but wasn't that the zika was removed through death? There's no zika. So why can't he just go ahead and marry her mother? No, that's a different issue. He'll marry the mother-in-law, he then won't be able to perform the mitzvah of yibum. You can't do an act that cancels your ability to do the act of yibum. You could imagine that there may be middle states in this psak. This is an extremely drastic psak. In other words, you could have imagined that someone would say, well, ain't zik if there are two brothers, but yesh zik if there's one brother. You could imagine somebody who would say, yesh zika when she's alive, but the death removes the zika. And that's the reason that he wasn't allowed to marry the mother-in-law. But over here we're saying there is no such thing as zika, period. Doesn't create any sense of relationship whatsoever, has nothing to do with whether she's alive or dead, nothing to do with how many brothers there are. It's simply another issue that takes us out of the zika question completely, in which we have to consider whether this act is going to prevent her from doing yibum, but that has nothing really to do with zika. So this is the furthest extreme that we've seen in the ein zika category. And again, it serves to point out the gradations. The fact that he couldn't have just said halacha kamandi omar, he couldn't have said halacha kamandi omar afilu bechad. He had to spell it all out so that it would be clear to us how far to the extreme he is, that there's no such thing as evil. Okay. Then we had the opposite approach. That was Rabbi Yehuda. And let's just briefly review that again. That was like six lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shameres Yavam Shemesa Asur B'ima. So he's saying even though she died, that's the other extreme. Even though she died and he had never married her anything, he's never allowed to marry her mother. So in other words, he holds yesh zika. So you'll say, can't he just paskin yesh zika? No, if he would have paskin yesh zika, I would have thought only with one brother. He wants, again, the gradations come out clearly. He wants to make it clear there is zika no matter how many brothers there are. Each and every one of those brothers is, for all intents and purposes, considered to be married to that woman until his brother does something which then absorbs the entire zika, makes him not the one that she's a kuka to, and at that point, fine, he can now go ahead and marry her relatives. And what about, it says the Gemara, but had he simply said that din of yesh zika, and of course the Gemara says, I mean, it doesn't make sense to think, I would have thought that's only b'chad of the machlokas, was betrayed. So the Gemara ends up saying, well, I might have thought that maybe there's only zika avimina michayim. There's only zika while she's still alive. But if she's dead, that removes the zika. That's what I would have thought. Kamash malan, there's no such thing. Zika does not disappear. So zika bichdi lo paka. Zika can either be consummated through chalitza or yibam of one of the brothers, or it remains. And the fact that she dies doesn't change anything. It's his wife, so to speak, that died. His wife, Bezika, that died. So this is the other extreme. Zika is so powerful that it actually creates a state of semi-marriage even after she dies to asur her krovim on him, no matter how many brothers there were, on any of the above brothers. Amazing. So we have now the extremes in the machlokas of Zika. Let's just continue. The truth is, it'll just take us a moment to run through the rest, because we did it all yesterday from the opposite point of view. Lema misayale, which yesterday was a kasha on the other shita, now what we thought was a kasha becomes a riot to the shita. It says, yivimtoshe meita mutar ba'achuta, that if his yivama dies before he does anything, now he is allowed to marry her sister. Now, wait a minute, what do you mean her sister? Why only her sister? I mean, even if she'd been his wife, he could marry his sister. Ah, must be that that's the point. He can only, Bakotayin, he can only marry a sister, but Bi'ima, lo, he can't go ahead and marry her mother. So apparently you see that indeed there's a very serious thing called Zika. Proof? No, not necessarily. Because perhaps, hu adin afilu bi'ima, I mean, it might be that the Mishnah over there indeed refers even to a mother, but in order to keep, because the main point over there was to teach me the din of ishtar shemeita, so I did a tana reisha ishtar shemeita mutar bachuta, and over there obviously a wife that dies, one is only mutar in the sister, and certainly not in the mother, which is a permanent erva, avo bi'ima lo, because there it's an isser d'oraita. We want therefore to be very clear about that. An isser d'oraita is not, there's no way that it's dependent in anything but the fact that he once had been married. So Menei Latanin HaSefer Mutar Bachota, he's mutter also in the Yevama's system. Masi Ravuna Barthia, again, this was yesterday, we brought this in the other direction. Masi Ravuna Barthia, Asaba Ma'amar Umeit, Shniachol Letzet Velo Mityabem. So now, if a brother had gone ahead and made ma'amar, he did ma'amar, and now he goes ahead and dies without ever having done the yima. So now the second wife is choletzet v'lo mityabemet. Remember this case. We started our perek off over here in the with discussing ketzad. At the very end of the Mishnah, after describing what Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo is, so we said, how about in the case of Asabo Ma'amar, the one who now died, he had never done Yibum. He actually had died after doing Ma'amar. So now the situation is that the Ma'amar does not really create. Remember, he was married to another woman, the who would have been the tzora of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo to the brother that was born. That's if they had actually done yibum, and now she falls together with her tzora to the brother that's born. How about if he hadn't done yibum? He just did ma'amar, right? So if he just does ma'amar, now the tzora is not really a tzara. She's the tzara to a zekuka, or a tzara to ma'amar. Oh, now wait a minute. That is very interesting. Because even without ma'amar, she was a zekuka. But it says in the Mishnah, the only problem there is that she cannot get yibum because of the fact that he did ma'amar. But if he hadn't done ma'amar, the very fact that she was a zekuka did not create a relationship that would have prevented the yibum to the wife of the second brother, even though he was zekuka, she at the Eishasach and Shalaya Balama was zekuka at the same time. So you see, says the Gemara, it says in our Mishnah, Asaba Ma'amaru Meit, Shniach Oletze Velo Meit Yabemet. The only reason that we have a problem here is why? Taima Da Avad Ba Ma'amar. Now, if you hold Yeh Zika, Zika is the full equivalent of a ma'amar. It should be even better. Ma'amar is a drabbanan kedushin, but a zika is an actual d'oraita relationship. Halo avad ba'amar. Suppose he had never done the ma'amar. What would have been the din? Is the implication of Mishnah is that the wife of the second brother, who never married and never did yibum to the wife of the first brother, she falls directly to Yibum, to the third brother, because to the third brother, she is not Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo. He was born before the second brother died. And the fact that she had been married to the brother at the same time that second brother was Zakuk to a woman, that it was an Erva on the third brother because he hadn't been born yet, that doesn't make any difference. Shneanami Yavumi Miyabne. Now, how do you explain that? E Amit Ye Zika. According to you, there exists a state of Zika between the second brother and the wife of the first brother then we should view the wife of the second brother as being essentially, on some level, married at the same time as the woman who was usher to the third brother, and therefore she's a tzara. So, at least bezika. So, the Mishnah, by using now the case of Ma'amar, seems to be telling us very clearly there is no zika, and you don't have to worry about that relationship. You only need to worry about a case we did Ma'amar. Whew. We could see how Eshet Achiv Shelo Yavo Olamo really opens the doors into the sugya, and so when of zika. Amar Rava, the truth is, Hu Adin, Da'afagav Delo Avad Ba'amar, Ma'amar, Shmiya Michlitz Chotze Yivume Lo Miyame. It's not necessarily so that that was the reason that the Mishnah took the case of Ma'amar, because it might be that what the Mishnah was trying to do was tell us the opposite. You might have thought that Ma'amar was a full marriage and therefore there would be no chi of whatever, and she would be a tzarat erva who wouldn't even need chalitza. You might have thought. Because that, after all, is the shita of Beit Shammai, who holds that Ma'amar is a full kedushin. And therefore, comes on the Mishnah to tell me, no. The most the Ma'amar does is the same thing Ezekiel would have done anyway. So maybe that's all the Mishnah means. V'hodik toni Ma'amar, v'afukim b'Beit Shammai, the Amri Ma'amar kone kinyan gamur, it's to tell us not to worry, nor, on the contrary, not to think that because there's Ma'amar, now everything is just fine. We don't have to worry about this Yavama because it's a case of an erva, and it's Tzaras erva that fall to Yibum, which means there is no fee of whatever, not of Yibum or Chalitza. Kamashva, no. You still need to do Chalitza. However, had there been no Ma'amar, we still would have said that the Zika at least achieves the same semi-relationship, which is enough to prevent Yibum of the wife, as it Tzaras erva the Zika, and therefore only gives us a chance to do Chalitza. Eisvei Abaye. Abaye now asks from the following case. Shnei Achim Ba'olam Echad. You've got two brothers that are living happily. Umet Echad Mihem Belov Lad. Now one of them dies, doesn't have any children. Amad Hasheni Hazel La'asot Ma'amar B'Yevimto. The second brother begins now his attempt to do Ma'amar. Now later on the Gemara is going to, when we get to this tomorrow, because Gemara is going to say, you know, Yoda would have left at that. What do you mean, begins his attempt to? I mean, do. Either he did it or he didn't do it. We'll see what the implications are of those words, but they don't concern us right now. V'lo yispik la'asot ma'amar, he never did get around to doing ma'amar. Ad shenolad lo ach. Then suddenly the third brother, the Eshet Achiv Shelo Yavo Olamo, to the first brother, is born, and then he dies, the second brother. No. HaRishona yotza mishom Eshet Achiv Shelo Yavo Olamo, ushnia o choletzet o mityabemet. So now, the first wife, so she clearly, she's a Eshet Achiv Shelo Yavo Olamo. When he was born, this woman had already been married to his brother who had died before he was born, to the first brother. So she's out of the question. But the second woman, for whom Ma'amar was never done, so she is Choletzet or Mityabemet. Now my question is like this. If Zika is real, how can she be Mityabemet? Because if you're going to tell me, E Hamad Ye Zika, Havilet Sarat Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo B'Zika. Now this says it clearly. I mean, the first mission you could say, where it was talking about where you did do Mimer, you could talk about what the implications are about if you hadn't done Mama. That's all very sweet. But over here, there's no mistaking what it's saying. It is saying that even though there was no Mama, okay, so what is there? Well, if you hold their Zika, there's Zika. No, since there's no Ma'amar, for all intents and purposes, you can ignore the Zika, And the wife of the second brother is perfectly normal Yavama to the brother who was born during his lifetime, and he goes ahead now and he can do Yiddish. Now what happened to Zika? So obviously he ain't Zika. No, says the Gemara, that's because this is going on to Rabbi Meir. It says later on, Dibre Rabbi Meir, at the end there, the Sefer, it says Dibre Rabbi Meir. So this was these were the words of Rabbi Meir. And apparently Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika, but that doesn't mean that necessarily you can bring a raya that to the Stam, the Mishnah over here holds that Ein Zika. What do you mean Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika? Since when does Rabbi Meir hold Ein Zika? The Atnan, Arba'a Achim. How about the famous Mishnah? You've got four brothers now. Four brothers, of which two, Shnayim Ehem, are Nesuim Shtei Achayot. Two of these brothers are married to two sisters. The two brothers who are married to the two sisters die. Meitu Anesuin Ha'achayot. Now, the problem over there is, apparently, that you've got now the remaining brothers have, each of them, a woman who is the sister of his Zekuka falling to him. Because if you hold a Yesh Zika, then you immediately have the problem of two sisters being Zekukas at the same time. One from brother A and one from brother B. And if we view Zika as being serious, then boy, do you have a problem. Because there is no way that you could ever do Yibum. Right? Okay. The din is indeed, Harelu Chotzot v'lo mityabmot. Now, that is a stam, Bishlak Rebbe Meir. You're going to tell me Sarkadat Chsavar Rabbi Meir ain't Zika. You're going to tell me that according to Rabbi Meir, Zika doesn't exist. That's what you're saying. And that's the reason why in the previous case, to the Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayaba Olamo, who was born before any Ma'amar was done, the Zika did not make the original brother's wife related in any way to the second brother's wife, so she's not a Tzara Tzareva B'Zika, because there is no Zika, and therefore you could be Miyaving her, not by the same token, if the two sisters fall from two brothers, if there's any Zika, they're not related. So therefore what you ought to be able to do is choose. Yeah, let one brother take one, let the other brother take the other. They can do whatever they want. Want to do Yibum, want to do Chalitz, as long as, of course, they don't do it on both, because once they're married to one of the sisters, obviously they can't do Yibum to the other sister, and not Chayef, who's the other sister. It's an Erva. But there's certainly no problem in each brother handling one, because these Batim, these are two Batim, unrelated through Zika, and therefore each one can be dealt with independently. So Yitzhak, Adai, Chsav, Rabbi Meir, Ein Zika. If what you just said is true, that Rabbi Meir holds Ein Zika, so Hani Mitzray Batika Atyan. Basically, these are coming from two independent homes. Two brothers who died. The wives happen to have been related. That has nothing to do with our problem. So all we need to do is let the two remaining brothers, the two surviving brothers, act independently. Let one brother take one of them. Let the other brother take the other. And why would there be a problem? Mishumma.
Same way that the first two brothers married two sisters, the next two brothers
married exactly. two sisters. It's exactly the same situation. Because they're not related if you hold Ein Zika. Who cares? There's no Achot Skukasra. And yet Rabbi Meir is saying is, you can't. Apparently because he holds, there is a problem of Achot Skukasra. Now you're running around in circles. You're telling me. There it says the Rebbe Meir, and over there it did not.
Might as well finish the tinsel.
No, I got it. So, Hani Mitrei Bati Ka'atim. So now you have two Yavamas coming from two separate Batim. Haile Yavim Chadav, Ali Yavim Chadav. Why can't each one of them be Miyavim one? Says the Gemara, it's nothing to do with Zika. No, Olam Ein Zika. So, what's the issue over here? The issue is Mishum Bekasavar Asur Levatel Mitzvat Yavim. We saw earlier that we have a concern that you may come to cancel out the mitzvah of Yibum. So in this case, if we would allow one of the brothers to be Miyavim, And then he would go ahead now, the other would go ahead now and die, right? So now the one who would be, would have this sister, would be unable to be miyaben the other one. Maybe there's only going to be one brother. Ah, now here's where we get into the question that was just raised by Reuven. Normally, Tosfos points out, normally we don't usually fear for death. Because for Horaya, remember, the Kohen Gadol and Yom HaKippurim, we don't say we're worried about maybe his wife is going to die, let's have another wife. We don't postulate like that. That's how Rebbe Meir. Why over here are we worried? So as Tosfos points out, as Reuven pointed out, this type of situation can go on for many years. I mean, if nobody acts, you could have something 10 years later, 20 years later, after he's miyabim, now he's going to be married to the sister. There's no way he's going to ever going to be able to be mekayim yibum on the other brother. Now, it's true that in that case, okay, so fine. So after the first guy gives chalitza, like in the second one, give yibum, and then there's no problem. Because once he does chalitza to one, we don't have to worry about it. He took off the zika, and now there's never going to be a problem being mavato yibum, because the sister will never fall to yibum anymore now that she's gotten chalitza. That's true. But we're worried about if we're going to allow one to be mayabim and the other one to be chalitz, they may do it in the opposite direction. We're worried about the first one doing yibum. And if the first one does yibum, so then we have a problem, because if he did yibum, the other brother dies without having done yibum. Now she's going to end up, the woman who had fallen to yibum is now going to be akot isha, because he went ahead now and did the yibum. Okay, so we tell the first one, you do chalitza, which means even if the other one dies, he could still now be choletz. That means that we don't have a problem of Zika at all. It's indeed, Rebbe Meir holds ain't Zika. But Mishum de Kasavar Asula Vatil Mitzvat Yabmim, the Dilma de Miyabim Chad Mayis Idach, the Kabatla Mitzvat Yabmim. Since if one of them is Miyabim, the other one may go ahead and die over a period of time in which this wasn't taken care of. So then, if the other brother dies without you having been miyabi, then the remaining sister is going to be akot isha, and therefore there won't be neither chalitza or yibum. You won't be able to be mekayim any mitzvah at all. In order not to be mevato both the mitzvah chalitza and the yibum, we say you do chalitza, because then if the other one dies, you'll still be able to do chalitza to the other one. In this sense, that at least they're a mitzvah. In other words, we don't want you to take her out of the entire set of chalitza and yibum. Okay, so we're worried about that bittul of the mitzvah yibum.
Almost to say that you shouldn't even marry two brothers, you marry
two sisters. Why? In case what?
There's a wife, Zara, and then...
Oh, you mean...
Why marry two sisters?
Right. Well, only the truth is that the Yerushalmi does talk about Simon Rubazim more later on, but we bring a riot that that's not an issue in marriage. It's only an issue once you have to worry about Yibam. So where you have the problem of Yibam, now you have to take into consideration. Do you want to put yourself... No, it's a current problem. In the sense of, if you go marrying her mother-in-law, so that's clearly a problem. You're removing yourself from the ability... This, in essence, is marrying her mother-in-law. You married her sister. So you're saying, okay, but there's another brother. You can't rely on the other brother's life to take care of things. That's the point. So you already have the problem of yibum. The only difference between this case and the case of marrying the mother-in-law is that there's another brother around. So all it's saying is, don't trust the situation of the brother. Maybe 20 years from now, if he didn't take care of her, he's still not going to take care of her. And then she's going to fall to you. You can't trust the other brother to take care of her.
But if you've done chalitza on one of the sisters, doesn't that finish the zika, or the zika is still there? In other words, why is it...
No, it's two different houses. It's two different homes. Mm-hmm. How does the chalitza of one of them affect the other one at all? There's two separate brothers, yeah, married to two separate sisters. If one of them gets chalitza, that's one home that you dealt with. Now, what about the other home?
So
it's got to be dealt with. Because if you do yibum, then you will not even be able to do chalitza to the other one. Because then she becomes an erva on you.
But wait, but you've already done chalitza on one.
Ah, you could. I said that. Oh, you yourself do yibum?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't do yibum because an achot chalutzato is also asura. Because it's similar to an achot isha. That you can't do. But the other brother you say could do it. Ah, but you can't do that. Because you can't rely on him. So therefore, the first brother can't do yibum. Theoretically, the second brother could have done yibum because he already, there won't be a problem because he already did chalit to the other brother, but we're worried about a reversal of the order and therefore we don't allow it.
Even in this case, it wouldn't have been an issue. We're worried that it may be so.
It is an issue, except.
Not in this case.
Sure, it's an issue. Why isn't it an issue? Because if the other brother, he's a jerk, he won't do anything. Each person? Oh, in the case of you did chalitza, yes, then it's not an issue. But we nonetheless ask for both brothers from doing evil because of another case. Yeah, that's true. Right. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. Isn't the question of your opinion about whether you have to worry about Isser to be mevatel mitzvahs yivamim, isn't that dependent in the actual question of Zika? Because, I mean, consider, the idea of Zika is that the Torah has created a relationship between this brother and this woman, correct? So I understand if you hold the age Zika, that relationship must be attended to, as you guys just pointed out yourselves. We don't worry about this when there's no Yibum. If the two brothers shouldn't marry two wives, we're not worried. We enter into this problem once we enter into the question of Yibum. But entering into the question of Yibum is a question of Zika. Not just the mitzvah. There really is a state that requires Yibum, the state of Zika. But on the other hand, if you hold Ein Zika, isn't it likely that if you hold Ein Zika, there's no concern for the potential bittul of the mitzvah of Yibum? Because, I mean, I know you could argue about this. You could say that they're unrelated. But we do have a clear indication that they are related in the fact that Rebbe Gamliel, who holds Ein Zika, also holds that it's mutu levato mitzvat yabmin, and apparently, and it's in the same case, the two seem to be interrelated. That's not. Rebbe Gamliel Omer, this again is a famous, we're dealing with a lot of famous basic cases that have implications across the Masechta. This is another famous case that we're going to have later on, in which you have now two brothers again married to two sisters. But in this case, the variation is one of the brothers is married to a sister who is still a ketana, and whose marriage was only midrabbanan. She was married without a father, either halachically or literally. So she's married only midrabbanan. The brother who is married to the older sister dies. Now we got a problem. If you hold Yesh Zika, the one who is married to the Ketana is no longer allowed to continue to live with her as man and wife. Because if you hold of Yesh Zika, she is Achot Zekukato, which is a Diaraisa, and a Derabbanan marriage is insufficient to be mater him, to be over, obviously, on Achot Zekukato. So the best, on the other hand, he can't do Yibum because Midrabbanan, she's married to him. So the best solution, therefore, suggests itself as tell her to do Miyun. To call her in and explain to her, look, we got a real problem. And there's a simple way out of this problem. You could just say you don't like your husband. So then if she doesn't like her husband, the marriage is annulled. He can go ahead now and do the Yibum on the brother's wife, who is a Gedayla. Right? So that's the situation. That's a solution that suggests itself. And that's what...
Can he do Chalitza and then remarry the...
Now then you got a problem with Achot Chalutzato. Right. But Rabbi Gamliel says, in that case, no, that's not what we do. We don't tell her to be Mema Enes. Look, Look, if she does the miyun, all right, if she does the miyun. That's up to her. But im lo miyana, if, however, she doesn't do the miyun, there's no problem of zika. Tamtin atche tagdil. Let the other lady who is now in waiting, let her wait. Until this, this is how Rashi means, until this one grows up, and then when she will be fully married to her husband, because they've been continuing to live as man and wife until she becomes a gedola, at that point she becomes mikudeshes demidoraisa, and now her sister is an erva, and therefore will be completely ptura, and takes a halazu, let the other woman go out, mishum achot isha. Now wait a minute, then you're being mavatal mitzvah yabmin too, right? I mean, if you're telling me there's ain zika, so he's allowed to continue sleeping with the ketana. But if he's going to end up now marrying this ketana when she becomes a gedola, he's going to be canceling out his ability to even do the chalitza. And you said, no, wait. Yeah, I mean, you can't do that. You may have ain zika, but you can't do that to be mavatal the mitzvah entirely. Rabbi Yehuda just said you can. If there's no problem of worrying about zika, then there's also no problem of worrying about canceling out the mitzvah. What's your problem? Look, so because Rabbi Gamliel holds that, that means Rabbi Meir has to hold that. You ask me a question from Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Meir, Kramita. What question is that? No, look, I'm not saying that it's absolutely this way. But if you consider the situation over here, you're faced with something that's very far-fetched. Because what's happening over here is to say that, well, Rabbi Meir didn't want you to be mevatel the mitzvahs yabmin, even to the point of wondering maybe within the next 20 years the brother will die, and then you'll end up having to do yichalitza on this one, but you won't be able to because you already did yibam. I mean, come off it, man. So he's so concerned about the possibility, he answers it. And Rabbi Gamliel is so unconcerned about the definite fact that you'll be mevatel the yibam that he says, oh, go right ahead. Now, I mean, I can understand that there's a machlokas about whether we should worry about it. You have to worry about the possibility. There could be a machlokas about whether you're allowed to go right ahead and be mevatel it. But such an extreme machlokas seems a little bit far-fetched. The Rabbi Meir should say, well, there's always the outside chance that something might happen to the other brother, and then if you went ahead and did Yibam, you're not going to be able to do what you got to do. And the other one says, what's the problem? Keep the Ketana and wait until she becomes a Gedola, then send the other one out without Yibam or Chalitza. That's what I'm saying. You're telling me that Rabbi Meir is Cheshish Afilu this fake, even for this far-fetched suffix, that maybe the other brother will die. And Rabbi Gamliel, even though it's 100% right in front of you, I feel a levadai lo chayish. So is it more reasonable to say that the two sugyas are in fact interrelated? Ein zika, ein chashash. Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't find that all that persuasive. I mean, look, dilma manda lo chayish, I feel a levadai lo chayish, manda chayish, I feel a zveger chayish. This may have nothing to do with zika. Maybe simply the point that there's a limit to the question of whether there's an iser at all to be mevatel. If there's an iser, then we'd have to worry about all cases. If there's no iser, then we don't have to worry about all cases. I mean, maybe indeed Rabbi Meir holds ein zika, but also levatel mitzvus yabim. Getting back to the machlokas that we had yesterday, Rav Huna quoting Rav as saying that a Shomer's Yavam who died, you can go ahead now and marry her mother. And the other Shita, which was Rav Yehuda Shita, said a Shomer's Yavam who died, even after the death, you can't marry her mother. I want you to know that what Rav Yehuda said, it's interesting because Rav Yehuda was a Talmud both of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Huna quoted Rav. Rav Yehuda didn't quote anybody. So I just want to make it very clear that Rav Yehuda was actually quoting Shmuel, was not quoting Rav. Well, we don't know that. Maybe Rav Huna, but we often find that Rav Yehuda argues with Rav Huna about what Rav said.
about what Rav said.
Yeah, that's very common. Rav Amarav says X, Rav Amarav says Y.
Even on what Rav says.
Yeah. So you should know that what Rav Yehuda said was Shmuel's sheet. The Tana, Shomeret Yavan, Shekidesh Achiv et Achuta. The Shomeret Yavam now, whose brother goes ahead and is Mekadesh, the sister, so Mishum Rebiru Mebisera Omru, Omrim Lo Amtein Ad She'aseh Hikamaseh. That was the famous case we've been talking about all along. That according to Rebiru Mebisera said, look, you can't marry her now. You have to wait until your brother does either Yibum or Chalitza, and then you can marry her. Now that obviously holds Yesh Zika, right? Until that Zika is removed, you must not consummate the marriage to this woman's sister. Okay? And Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah. So if Rabbi Yehuda is the one who goes around saying that Yesh Zika, and we know that Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah, who is the source of the classic case of Zika, so then it makes sense that when Rav Yehuda, even though Rav Yehuda went beyond this case, right, because he was talking about even after she dies, and that was a new chiddush, it's reasonable to say that he was following Shmuel all the way, not Rav. I said, what, just because Shmuel says this, it can't be Rav? Why can't it be Rav? I mean, either Rav Mai, what's bothering you to say that Rav Yehuda was quoting Rav? Because of the fact that Rav Huna had quoted Rav, otherwise, is that it? Because Kasha de Rav at a Rav? I mean, that happens all the time. Dilma Amaroyin, you know, I'll leave it a Rav. Why can't we say that Rav Yehuda indeed was quoting Rav, his Rebbe, and that he had a different version of what Rav said than Rav Huna's version of what Rav said? What's the big deal? No. Dilma Amaroyin, you know, I'll leave it a Rav, I wouldn't say. I'll tell you. And that was the point I'm trying to make. Is that kivan de itmar mishmei de Shmuel ba'adeh? If I have an open reference to a psak of Shmuel of Yesh Zika, and the only thing I know about Rav is from Rav Huna, who says ein Zika, I am not going to say that Rav Yehuda meant to tell us over a different shita of Rav and that it's a different amaroyim aliva de Rav. It makes much more sense, lo shafkina mishmei de Shmuel, to establish the seder of this halacha. We are not going to drop what we know from Shmuel in order to make this mukminat gamaraya libidarab. In order to make this a machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, another one of those machlokas about what it was that Rav said. Okay, makes sense. Now, Omer of Kahana, you know, Amrita l'shvaitza kameda Rav Zvid minayada. I said this whole analysis over that Rav Yehuda must have been quoting Shmuel, and he laughed at me. He said, you guys, you know, you have all of this torturous analysis to figure out whether he meant the name of Shmuel or meant the name of Rav. I mean, never concerned us, I'll tell you why. Atan hachimat nitala. You read it and the way you had been taught. He simply had said, Amar Rav Yehuda, that basically, Yezika. But Anan, the way we were taught, it went, Omer of Yud Omer Shmuel. Shemeret Yavam Shemeta Surabi Ima Alma Kasava Yesh Zika. The way we had it was, it read like this. He actually quoted Shmuel. And part of the lima that we had was, and so you see, since he quotes Shmuel to say that after death it's usher to marry her mother because she's the mother-in-law of your Zekuka, We concluded as part of this whole limud, Amakasava Yezika, which of course makes perfectly good sense because this is us the Shmuel Atayne. Shmuel Shita all along was Yom HaShmuel Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. See? So you didn't need to torture yourself. Now, of course, this raises another problem. If Rabbi Yehuda was the one who was quoting it and wanted to tell us a case, then I have no problem. Shmuel Paskin. Like Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah, Rabbi Yehuda Paskin, like Shmuel, everything's hunky-dory. But if Shmuel said two separate ma'amores, why did he need to? Why would he need to Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda ben Sarah, and also Paskin that you can't marry the mother-in-law? Isn't that the same thing? No, it's not the same thing, but Tzricha. We need to have, in this version, we have two separate psakim, and therefore in this version we need to explain why he would need to say both of these piskei halacha. Suppose he would have just said the case of Yezik about the mother-in-law. That's because it was only one brother. But in the case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, in the case with our two brothers, where the Zika is spread out over two brothers, maybe it's not Zika. It's to amorphous to create a real relationship. So in that case, we wouldn't say Zika, maybe. It's Avamina Becha, Ava Betrayal Lo, Kamashma, and therefore he has to tell us Allah of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and actually there's Zika even with two brothers, and therefore the brother who has engaged with Kiddushin, the sister, cannot consummate his marriage. But on the other hand, had I just told you that, and I would have said Allah for Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, you might have still thought that if she goes out and dies, then it's not like a wife who died that leaves you with a permanent isser on the mother of that wife. It would be more like a cancellation of Zika. Death cancels Zika, that's all. So Habamina Mechayim, okay, there's a problem with Zika. But Le'achar Mita, after the woman dies, the Zika simply disappears. Pokala Zika. Kamash Malan, the Zika Bechdi Lo Pak'a. Therefore, according to this, Shmuel himself would need to tell me both Piskei Halachot, namely, Zika is true even where there's more than one brother. Secondly, the only thing that can remove a Zika is a Chalitza or a Yibum. And a death cannot remove Zika. Sabajansh. Now, continuing on with the questions of Zika and Eshes HaKim Shrahaya Ba'olama, suppose we have two brothers. One of them dies. Shnei Achim Meit Echad Mihem. The second brother goes ahead and does Yibum. So he's Yibim Esheni at Eshet Achim. And now, brother number three is born. Aha. Now in this case, brother number three is born into a situation in which there is no Zika because it's already been canceled by Yibum. Now we could think that the Yibum has created a marriage of heter to this third brother who is born because it has completely absorbed the original marriage, which was usur on the third brother who never lived during the time that that marriage existed. But now that the brother was born, we can effectively ignore the original marriage, and we can say, look, that marriage now is taken over by brother two. The third brother has lived in the same world as brother two. If brother two dies, then he should be able to go ahead and to marry the Yivam. And in this case, indeed, Umeit. Now, the second brother dies. The halacha is, HaRishana Yotza Mishum Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo, V'Hashniya Mishum Tzarata. It's no good. There's still an Itzer V'Eshet Achiv Shelo Haya Ba'olamo in this case. So in other words, it's not that he was born at a time of Zika. It's that there's a permanent erva that exists forever from the first brother. If now, Asaba Ma'amar Umeit, suppose now he had done Ma'amar, now the second brother had done Ma'amar, the third brother was born, and now he dies. Well, the woman that he's married to is really a perfectly good Yavama from the Torah's point of view to the third brother, because he never had done Yibum to that other woman. But he did do Ma'amar. Now the Ma'amar creates at least the Durabonah, in which they're viewed as being married at the same time, and therefore she's a tzoras erva b'ma'amar. So in that case, hashniya choletzet v'lo mityabemet. We can't potter her completely, because after all, it's not a real marriage, whether it's ma'amar or zika, however we understand this, it's not a real marriage, so therefore she can't just walk out as a tzoras erva. But well, you can't, on the other hand, allow her to do Yibam, because there is a relationship there that was created from the Ma'amar. Rabbi Shimon says, well, you know, going back to that first case, forget about this Ma'amar case. And going back to that first case, if he actually did Yibam, and then he died, then there's no problem. I don't see any problem at all. The third brother basically is born into a world where a second Yavam went ahead and took over the marriage, which as far as he's concerned never existed. The third. So he can just go ahead and take either one of them. So he could be Miyabim, Lezabim, Shi'ir, so even the one who had been married to his first brother is now not married to his first brother. He's married to the second brother. He took over the first brother's marriage. So now the third brother could be Miyabim, or he could certainly take the other one, who is the Tzara of that woman. They're both Mutarah. Or he can do chalitza on either one. Makes no difference.
What is the case of
We're going to talk about it. But right now we're going to assume that the first case, after all, the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, where the brother was born into a world in which the Yibam had not been done, over there Rabbi Shimon didn't argue, right? So it's Mashmah, Rabbi Shimon is ready to agree about the first case, because the first Mishnah described a situation where the brother was born into the turmoil of a brother who had died and all of this was hanging over him. So over there I understand that even according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be Eshet Achim Shalaya Ba'olamo. The second Mishnah describes a case in which by the time he's born, the world has settled down and this woman is married to his second brother. Maybe it's only over there that Rabbi Shimon argues. And that's what our Gemara is concerned with. Rabbi Shaya says, but that would be a mistake. Actually, Chalukaya Rabbi Shimon af Barishona. Believe it or not, Rabbi Shimon didn't hold to the first Mishnah either. Rabbi Shimon held that once a second brother does Yibam, it doesn't matter whether the first brother had been born before or after. When he does Yibam, the moment he does Yibam, he cancels out all of the problems of the first marriage, and therefore there's no Eshet Achiv Shalaya Ba'olamo. Why do I say that, Mimai? I mean, why don't I just draw the obvious conclusion that Rabbi Shimon only argues on the second Mishnah, because he didn't say a word in the first Mishnah? I'll tell you why. Because what's the point of the second Mishnah, for heaven's sake? Now tell me, why would anybody write this second Mishnah? It's absurd, the second Mishnah. Okay? The first part in this Mishnah, explain to me now, that we have now that first Mishnah, okay? Laman Katanila. Who is that Mishnah set for? The Mishnah, the opening Mishnah. What? According to the Rabbanan? I mean, if the Rabbanan are ready to say that even in the second Mishnah, where the Yavam was born now after the Yibam had taken place, nonetheless they say, sorry, no good. The fact is she had once, 20 years ago, been married to his dead brother. That stays forever Asutin. So then obviously, if he's born, as he was in the first Mishnah, into the turmoil of the situation, so obviously the Rabbanan would say in that case, she's an Eshet Zachu Shalaya Ba'olamo. So if in the second case, v'chi ashkecha ve'atera ashkecha, when he finds her in a state of total heter, nonetheless Asur Rabbanan, because of a previous marriage. So certainly, the case of Nolad v'Chakak Yavam, where he had been now born, and then the Yibam took place, which was the first Mishnah. Me boy, is there any point in telling me that? I'll tell you. The only reason to mention that Mishnah at all has got to be according to Rabbi Shimon. So it's Itzrich l'Rabbi Shimon. Tana Reishon Odiachok Kochod Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, the first Mishnah which describes a case in which the Yavam was born, in fact, into the state of turmoil, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care. As soon as the second brother goes in and does Yibam, everything's fine. Now, if the second brother dies, we only relate to this woman as the wife of the second brother. Wow! That's an amazing tzach. In other words, Rabbi Shimon basically seems to be throwing out the idea of Eshet Achim Shalaya Ba'olamo out the window, right? Okay, I need to know that. Now, the second case is to tell me that the Rabbanan actually argue even in a case where he had been born after the turmoil and had been born into a world in which he found his brother married to this woman. He may never even have realized she was married to another brother before he was born. So we want to know. Nonetheless, the Rabbanan say, even in that case, she's still an Eshes Achiv Shelo Yabal. Now I have an excuse for two Mishnayos. They need to tell us the extremes of the Shitot. So the first Mishnah talks about a case of turmoil. I told me, Rabbi Shimon doesn't care. Once you end the turmoil by doing Yibam, everything is fine. Second is, where you're born where everything is settled. Say the Rabbanan, I don't care if it's settled. It's us or because of what was 20 years ago. Okay, now I understand why we have two Mishnayos over here. So the Reish Odiach Rekoch of the Rabbi Shimon, and Zanasev Odiach Rekoch of the Rabbanan. The truth is, you're saying, well, how come Rabbi Shimon never says in the first Mishnah, it doesn't say, V'Rabbi Shimon, Omer B'Yadim, Leis Memshir, something. He could have. But didn't you, the Niflag Rabbi Shimon Breish, Rabbi Shimon actually could have said right there, well, no, he can actually take whatever one he wants, but he waited until the Rabbanan finished both of their cases. So, Adem Esaimil Miltayu, till they complete what it is that they were saying. And then he goes back to argue on them and to say, now you finished? You told me about two cases? I'm telling you, none of those cases are meaningful. There's no such thing as an Eshes Achiv Shelo Yablomo in those two cases. And then Poligalayo. So, wait a minute. So then, is there a concept of Eshes Achiv Shelo Yablomo? I mean, is he saying Eshes Achiv Shelo Yablomo? The whole idea of Eshes Achiv Shelo, there's no Yachta. Is that what he's saying? Is there an Isser of Eshes Achiv Shelo Yablomo according to Rabbi Shimon? Eichem Ashkacha. So where does such an Isser exist? Well, sure it exists.
It must exist.
Yeah, the Gemara, in other words, the Rishonim said the Gemara knows that Rabbi Shimon holds that the idea exists. Well, of course it exists. It exists where there's one brother, okay, who dies. Now, the other brother, a second brother, is born. Okay? Is he supposed to be miyabim his brother's wife or not? Okay, is that a question? That's a different question, which we'll talk about Asrafa. No, I'm gonna talk about later on. But I need to know that that's an issue of the story of Olam. Torah is only Mechayev, a brother who lived in the same world as the brother who was alive. He's born afterwards, doesn't do Yibum. If he would marry that woman, he would be Chayev Koras, and so on. Well, very simple. Or
no? If he
died and then the brother was born, then that brother can never marry her. Even according to Rabbi Shimon. The only time that Rabbi Shimon is saying you can marry her is where there was another brother who went ahead and married her. But if that the other brother had never gone ahead and married her to remove the din of the first brother's marriage, of course Rabbi Shimon says, naturally, I agree. The concept of Eshet Achiv Shelo Yabo Olamo is a perfectly valid concept. Absolutely. No problem with it.
It's not contingent on whether that is a Zika there, is it?
Well, let's take a look at the next case. Or, Inami, there is another option in which there might have been two brothers, okay? But, in that case, the second brother never went ahead to do Yima. And he died. Okay, and I'm sorry, he doesn't die at this point. He doesn't die, and then we have this third brother. So now, what happens is, she's going to be usher on the one who is born, because there's still no removal of the original marriage. So all that Rabbi Shimon was saying is that in a case where the second brother, whether before he was born or after he was born, at least the way Rav Hashaya is learning, whether before he was born or after he was born, takes her or removes the problem. So then, okay. But if the problem was never removed, either because there never was a second brother or because the second brother never acted on the problem, I might have, there's an observation of Shlaya Ba'olamo, and now the brother who was born cannot jump into the shoes and go ahead and take care of the yid. Nothing for him to do. That's not what ifs. I'd like to make sure you understand the case. Now, so the question over here is, Bishlema, I understand The case of Yovam v'chakach nolad, okay? If we learn that the case here in the Mishnah, the second Mishnah, very simple. He went out and did Yiv. Now the other brother was born. When the brother was born, ki ashkeche be'atera ashkeche. I don't exactly understand the logic of the other way around. If we're agreed that there exists an Isser of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olam, and we agree that that Isser would have existed even if there were two brothers that had been alive, and the third brother was born to find this woman, Zekuka, to the second brother, but the second brother has not acted on it, you're telling me the moment he does act on it, there's no problem of Eshet Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olam, right? That's what you're telling me. Okay? So, kiyashka beter ashka. So, nolan v'chakak yavam, I don't understand. If he was born and then the yibam took place, so why exactly is there no issue? Well, that's because he holds of yesh zika. The moment that she fell to the second brother before he was born, that zika is so powerful that she makes him into her husband. And Zika is Kiknusa. So now, the moment that he's born, he finds this woman, Zekuka, to his brother, which really means that she's married to the brother, except that he hasn't completed the marriage by doing the Yibam. Okay. But the moment he does, then that Zika completes the total subsuming the first marriage by the second, no problem. As a matter of fact, if anything, one should say, what's the problem anyway? Why did he have to wait until she was miyabit? I mean, if there's Zika's, because Zika's Kiknisa, so then immediately, with or without Yibam, everything should be fine. Okay. But certainly we understand why when he does Yibam, if Zika's going to be, this is like the ultimate Zika, right? Zika being the Knusa means he never ever finds her. Now, according to this portion of Rav Hoshaya, we have now an extension of Zika even further than we thought. The Zika is so powerful that it actually takes the first marriage, slams it into the second brother, and there is no first marriage. There's only the second marriage to the second brother.
Yeah, he
can be, the third brother was born later, can now go right ahead and be Miyabemer in the event that the second brother dies.
Although his name is the second brother.
Right. The question is, if Zika is Kiknusa, so what would be the problem of his being Miyabemer Bechlal? Fine, that's a separate issue. Did she fall to Yibam for him? Because I'm agreeing, he's an Eshes Hachloi Yom Olamo. Therefore, there's no Chiv of Yibam for the first brother, so the Zika could never be directly from the first brother to him. But the Zika is Kiknusa. Does Zika Kiknusa Mechayev Yibam? That's a different question. If the second brother was Miyabim, so then there's a Chiyav of Yibam. We need to understand why, if you're Zika Kiknusa, why is there not a Chiyav of Yibam even if he was never Miyabim and he died? Fine. That needs to be understood as we continue on with the dinim of Zika. But as you can see, it isn't a coincidence that we brought up the sugya of Eshes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamo in the parak that's going to be discussing Zika, because basically almost all of our experiments about Zika are going to involve that situation. Yes, they can involve other cases where there's two surviving brothers and they fall simultaneously and so on. But the interesting details, the laboratory that's going to provide us the data that we need about Zika, is a laboratory that's going to have a lot of Eshes Achiv Shelo Hayah Ba'olamos in the closet to take out for experiments, right? So this is the perfect parak for us to be discussing this issue. Okay, let's complete this here.